Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, just four verses tonight. Let's read these four verses, the title of the message, The Race That Matters, The Race That Matters, and let's see what the Lord has for us tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Again, title of the message is The Race That Matters. But before we jump into that, I want you to know there's nine times in 1 Corinthians. I knew you knew that. Nine times in 1 Corinthians. So just do a walk through 1 Corinthians where it says, know ye not. So when it says, know ye not, he's saying, you should know this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Let's go through the nine know ye nots, and I won't belabor it too much, but let's look at 1 Corinthians 3:16. So I think when we see the know ye nots, we ought to know these. Know ye not, chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We ought to know if you're saved, if you're born again, if you're a true believer in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you. That is a great blessing. That is a great blessing. Never forget that. On your worst day, God is with you. That should be super encouraging. Chapter 5, verse 6. Hang on here. It says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Remember, we talked this in this background from the Old Testament. Leaven is a picture of sin. A little sin has way more impact than we could ever imagine. Don't think you can play with sin. Old, young, everybody in between, don't think that sin doesn't have a dramatic impact. I've said this recently, but it still does blow my mind. Eve ate one piece of fruit. Look at what happened. Every sin came from that. What she started, she had no idea. And the devil didn't let her know, just like all the advertising doesn't let you know how bad it'll turn out. Oh, if Eve would have known, I will tell you, this is the crazy thing. If Eve would have known, I think she would have still eaten the fruit. You know what her issue was? Our issue too. She didn't love God the way she should. I never want to get apart from this. I feel like I didn't get to make sure that when we are striving to obey God, that we never get apart from Christ. The reason why we will truly obey consistently and with the right reason is because we want to honor Jesus Christ, and He is the center. He is the reason. He is the reason why we pursue it. I didn't get to preach that enough this morning. Maybe I preach it enough, but I hate to neglect that. I never want us to be rules-based, obedience-based, just so that we get. It's because it honors Christ. Chapter 6, verse 2. He says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? It's going to be this. We saints will rule over the world. Saints will rule with Christ. He is the King. And we will rule under Him, with Him, for Him, and by Him. That's going to be an exciting time, is it not? Is that just, these are real things. This isn't make-believe. It's really cool. Chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And so he's encouraging them, you guys need to take care of your own business. Don't take your business to the lost and secular world. Deal with it internally. You're going to judge the world. You're going to judge angels. So why not get some practice now? We've talked that in the past. In chapter 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. Our bodies are members of Christ. When we do dishonorable things with our body, we involve Christ in that. If we would be conscious of that, I pray that that would keep us from engaging our bodies in immoral things, ungodly things. I want you to look back at chapter 6, verse 9. I've just got them in some order, but this is not in the exact order of the Bible. Know ye not, chapter 6, verse 9, that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Only way you're going to heaven is you have to be righteous. You have to be perfect. That only comes through Christ. Only comes through Christ. I do worry. My wife seems to be right on most things. She was in the nursery. I fear I confuse people when I say you have to be perfect to go to heaven. But we can't do it. It's only through Christ. I love the thought. I love despair with hope. You can't do it. That's the key. That's why I love that song this morning. Just a beautiful song. But know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. We, when we're saved, God will move us from these behaviors. We cannot, will not live in these sins like a pig in mud. Chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? And so there's just a lot of truths. He's reminding them that their body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it's, you are not your own. He reminds us, you're not your own. When you became saved, you are not your own. Now, we aren't our own anyway, but we specially became the children of God. And we are owned by God in a special, unique way. I want you to look at chapter 9, verse 13. Chapter 9, verse 13. This is the eighth one. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple, and they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? He's just reminding them that people in ministry live by ministry, and we talked all that last week. And then chapter 9, verse 24, he says, know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. He's going to have a great spiritual picture here, a spiritual picture of running the race. And so title of the message, The Race That Matters, The Race That Matters. I love this. He says this. Look at verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. I want you to know this. The Bible says run. What race are you in, right? I mean, you know, when I grew up, it's, you know, you're part of the rat race. You know, just getting up, going to work, part of the rat race. And the world doesn't understand what race they're a part of. They're a part of the devil's race. I'm not talking race in terms of red and yellow, black and white. I'm talking about running, okay? It's just crazy how we've hijacked words. But what race are you part of? What race are you running? That would be better. Maybe people would understand when I say, what race are you running? You're running a race. If you're not conscious of it, then you're probably running the wrong race. And so we're going to learn tonight. And so he says, I love this. This to me is so encouraging. Run to win. I love this. That's good. That's a good amen. Yeah, let's amen that. Let's win. Let's get the old W. But when we find out what the W is, it's different than what we think, right? Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Now, what I love about this is the world, right? You know, you have a marathon, 26.2 miles, and only one wins, right? What a bummer. You come in second. You know, it's like, why'd I run? But it is, I always used to tell people, it's okay if you beat me. I'll enjoy when I come back and beat you better the next time. And, he tells us to run that we may obtain, that we may win, right? It's, I remember my kids, upwards is fine. I probably was a little rebellious. I kept score. So my kids would know who won. I'd be like, you guys won, you dominated them. And, you know, then at the end of the year, they're like, and you get a prize, and you get a prize, and here's a participation trophy, and you get a prize, and you get a prize, and you get a prize. That's just so, it's so unrealistic. I mean, it should be like, you're not playing next year. No, you shouldn't tell a five-year-old that. Six, absolutely, right? I told you, you know, I tried to coach baseball. Did you guys know I tried to coach baseball one time? I never told you this story, but I tried to coach baseball. 1 year, done. I was assistant coach. Didn't want to be. Oh, I actually coached soccer, too. What a joke. I know nothing about soccer. It was survival. We didn't score a goal until the last game, and then we scored like 11, and I got in trouble. I was like, it's like, we scored. But anyway, it was because I had to. But I was doing baseball, right? This is like a long time ago, 25 years ago. And so I had a little computer program, and I would have them all have their, you know, positions equally, right? I would have them do their positions equally. So, you know, it'd be the right thing to do, get experience. And I remember this kid's name was Adam. Adam said, I'm not playing right field. I said, oh, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not playing right field. That's for the bad kids. And I said, who wants to play right field? Adam, you can sit there. And we had sissy coach, right? And he's like, Steve, this is not the way we do things here. And you have no idea, right? So Adam was like six. I get Adam in the field one time. I said, Adam, you know what your problem is? Your parents didn't spank you enough. I know. You're like, Steve, what is your problem? I know. By God's grace, hopefully I've matured a little bit, right? But I was just like, and so I don't know how it happened. Adam was scheduled for right field more than any other kid the rest of the year. What do you know? But I let the coach call it out. Adam, right field. I'd always have the paper. Anyway, we run that we might win. And, you know, it is, I have too many stories. I'm not going to tell you stories, but I love this about the Bible. Now here, what do we win? What's the prize? Here's what I love scripture. Philippians chapter 3. Let's just look at this. This is Paul after he gives his testimony of all his credentials, and he says, it's just garbage. And he says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. He's saved. That he may win Christ. Christ is the prize. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. You don't want to be your own righteousness as filthy rags. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. Just look at these last few verses in Philippians, just so if you're wondering, that we may win Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I haven't figured it out. I want you to know this. Don't be discouraged. I could be discouraged too. Just be honest with yourself and be encouraged. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I love every morning. Whoa! I can do what's right. Look at my wife and say, I'll be nice to you today. And, you know, I want to. I want to be nicer to her, right? I do. I mean, I'm not even going to tell myself anymore. But, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't arrived. If you think when I preach, I'm saying, figure this out. You guys, be like me. Be like me as I follow Christ. But I haven't apprehended. But this one thing I do. See, this is the focus I want. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget yesterday, the good and the bad. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press forth for the prize. It's Christ is the prize. I want to win Christ. I want to know Christ. I want to honor Christ. I want you to know this. Here's the beautiful thing. We run and you can obtain Joe. You can obtain Jacob. You can obtain Brother Lee. It's we run that we may obtain Christ and know Christ. I've been on a kick lately. I don't know if I've said it from the pulpit because I talk to people so many times. I'm simplifying. Watch me get in trouble. I'm simplifying the Bible. I'm telling new believers, for the next 2 years, I only want you to be in four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want you to just go through Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and I want you to know Jesus. Oh, do not think you're finished when you know the facts, when you know the stories, I want you to be able then to tell people, why in the world did Jesus give us that story? What can we learn about Jesus? What can we learn about him? What can I know? How does Jesus respond? How does he behave? How does he prepare? What does he do? I want to know Christ. You want to know Christ? Then spend time Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know what? Eventually, yeah, here's what'll happen. Maybe you do want to cheat. I would love that. I want to check out Galatians. You know, that's okay. Wouldn't that be so good? So good. So many times we're like, I have to read the Bible. I want you to be in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I want you to know Christ. I tell you this, we would be good if we knew our Savior better, if we understood him. And so here's three things I want you to see is, I want you to see this. We're going to talk these, that I may know him. We'll talk these, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings be made conformable unto his death. So to win, winning is Christ. Winning is knowing him. Winning is knowing him in the sense of knowing intimately, understanding him, and enjoying him, and delighting in him. And he is enough. He is enough. I know him, and I can't wait to talk to him, and I can't wait to be with him. Why did Jesus always pray? I don't think it was, Father, I've got this list of requests. I think he just wanted to be with the Father. Being with the Father was better than sleep. When did Jesus sleep, right? Do you ever wonder about it? I'm like, what? He slept less than anybody else I've read about. Every time he's like, good night, guys, he goes up into the mountain to pray. He spends all night in prayer. He wanted to be with the Father. Winning Christ, three components, the power of his resurrection. To know him and the power of his resurrection. That's all from Philippians. And the power of his resurrection. What is that? The power of his resurrection. I'm telling you this. When we know Christ, and this isn't something for our glory. You have to be super careful when we talk about, the power of his resurrection. Wouldn't that be great to have this power? Everybody tries to market it and make money off of it, but no, to have the power of God to overcome sin, to have the power of God to overcome life, have the power of God be used of God dramatically, that would be made by God's grace, we would be invisible and Christ would be exalted. The power of his resurrection. I told you my personal belief, the greatest moment of God's power, the resurrection. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all given credit for the resurrection. Very rare that all three are involved in the exact same thing. Jesus is given credit for his resurrection, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. There's only two other things I've told you this. Creation, they all seem to be given credit for the same thing. And keeping you saved. Those are the three times. I welcome more. I don't know of any offhand, and I've tried to study this. But the power of his resurrection. When you know him, you want the power of God? We need the power of God. You want the power of God? That's what we need. Hope Baptist Church needs the power of God. That's what we need. We need the power of God so that God will use us and we may not realize it. And we, if he does use us, somehow we will stay humble. That's so difficult, is it not? Pride goeth before destruction and the haughty spirit before a fall. What destroyed the devil? Pride. Or he abode not in the truth, I guess. Preach your own. Certain, but he abode not in the truth, right? Oh, that we could be used. Oh, that we would have the power of his resurrection. To know him, to know Christ, is to have the power of his resurrection. The fellowship of his sufferings. Oh, boy, who wants that? You do if you want to honor him. The fellowship of his sufferings. When you know him, when you serve him, you will be joined together with his suffering. You'll be joined together with his suffering. Third, being made conformable to his death. I think we could, I'm not going to tonight, but we could go back to Philippians 2 that deals with his humility. He humbled himself and became obedient even unto the death of the cross. It's humility that leads to obedience. It's to have the power of his resurrection, fellowship of his sufferings, and the fellowship of his sufferings, if you ask me, will keep us humble, will it not? Suffering normally doesn't make you prideful. Maybe. I'm just asking. I'm dead serious. It's a dead serious question. Anybody know somebody that's full of pride that's just suffering all the time? There's a lot of other issues that come with suffering all the time. I'm not saying everybody's godly that suffers all the time, but I've never known of anybody to be full of themselves that's They can be angry people. They can have all kinds of issues. But I've never known of anybody to be prideful of you. That is just suffering? Maybe. I'm interested. But you see the combination. This is winning Christ. I love this. The first thing I do whenever I play a game. Oh, what are the rules? And immediately, the way my mind works, probably not that great, is I'm trying to find loopholes. I'm like, oh. And what is everybody else not going to do? Oh, that's what I want to do. You have to understand, I started at a young age. I'd get these little postcards, and it'd have small print on it. I would read the small print to find the exceptions. You can make money off of that. Probably not. I don't think it was illegal or anything like that, but I was going to write a book. I told you before I became pastor, Life is a Loophole. Probably not the greatest book to write as a pastor. But it is, understand this, I want to know what it's about. Tell me how to win. No, this isn't everybody gets a participation trophy. Tell me how to win. I want to be focused. I want to win Christ. It's to know Him. It's to know Him in the power of His resurrection, fellowship of His suffering, and be made conformable to His death. That's winning. That's knowing Christ. Have we apprehended? Have we arrived? Absolutely not. But I want you to understand this. If my preaching is known for one thing, you better know Christ. You better know Christ. And I'm talking know Him personally, intimately, specifically, know how He thinks, knows what He would do, know what He would say. Knowing Christ. That's winning. Are we running the race to know Christ personally and individually? I don't think so. I think we're just kind of running the race that the world's running, and we're trying to put a little spin on it to be a little more moral. There's not much difference in today's world between a good lost person and the average Christian. Maybe a little bit. But the distinction in a Christian ought to be Jesus Christ. Good lost people aren't enamored with Christ. They never mention Him when I ask, if you were to die tonight, why should God let you into heaven? I mean, two out of 100 max, do they mention Jesus? And they all claim to be Christians after a while. There ought to be a great distinction between us. There ought to be something that says this: we love people, we care for people, we bleed for people, we are broken for people, because we know this: eternity's coming, and they need Christ to win. Just know this. If you don't know even what I'm preaching tonight, just how about take that challenge, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Get to know those. They are such fun books. Are they not fun books? I mean, I'm not looking for fun. I mean, that's probably the wrong word. But they are some of the most enjoyable books in the Bible, are they not? I mean, they are so good. And yeah, there's some, whoa, what's that about? But not a ton. Matthew's probably the hardest of the three. And so, I tell you, start with Mark. It's probably the easiest of the four. Hardest of the four, I meant. And Mark's the easiest of the four. And Matthew's just, it's daunting. We took 2.5 years to get through it. But all of them are good. Just to know Christ. Just simplify your Christianity. I want to know Christ. I want to honor Him. I'm going to bathe in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I just want to know Christ. I think all eternity, we're going to get to know Christ. I don't think we're going to be omniscient when we get to heaven. I don't think we're going to have struggles with sin because we're going to have new bodies. I don't think we can sin, but I think we won't sin because we won't. But I don't think I'm all-knowing. I'll be like Him, but I won't be Him. I think it's going to be exciting to learn. Don't you think so? It's going to be good. I mean, I think we might do things together, right? We might have activities together. I mean, God is, He's a great God. But the delight of heaven is going to be Christ. He says, run to win. Now, I'm not going to belabor the point, but here's what we do. Now, let's just see this, verse 25. This is how we run. This is how we run, with temperance. Look at this. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's still talking about temporal, worldly worldly, racing. He's just talking about running the race. Every man that striveth for the mastery, striveth for the victory, is temperate in all things. And so now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. It is this. Everyone is temperate, is disciplined, self-controlled, right? So tempered glass. You know, it's a major improvement in glass, and it's been around for, 50 years, whatever. But, so when you break the glass, it's going to shatter in small pieces so you don't get jagged edges and cut you to pieces, right? Tempered glass is a controlled breaking of the glass. We are temperate. It is self-controlled. A young man asked me recently, he said, how do you get to where you're doing the things you do? And I said, just start. You know, I love this, you know, so I love this. You're here at church. You've made a commitment in your heart, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it is, Dariana, same thing. And you are two of our young believers, right? I love our other young adults that you've got friends here, right? But it's look at this. I know your compadres come typically, but not always, right? Don't you get discouraged. It's the beginning of learning what it means to focus on Christ. If all it is coming and sitting your rear end down in that seat, what a dud, you'll quit. But it's the beginning. If you let everybody else dictate, you know, I told you when I was 16 years old, you've heard this story before, I'll make it quick, that I was sitting in there, you know, I went to a large church, and so my parents let me drive on my parents were SMOs, and I loved my parents, loved my mom still to this day, right? So she goes to a SMO church now, so I don't tell her all that. Sometimes I do, and she just kisses me and gets mad. But I just tease with her occasionally, right, you know. But I love my mom. I'm blessed. I was given the gospel. I was a blessed young man. So they let me drive to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Well, you know, after a while, they let me drive anywhere. And so here I am. I'm sitting there on a Wednesday night. It's a church that ran 2,000 to 4,000 on a Sunday, 150 people on Wednesday night. And I'm sitting there, you know, and it's like everybody look like I look now. And so I'm like, I ain't coming to Wednesday night anymore, all these old people. And this still small voice in my head, you know, and the Lord's like, that's what I thought. It wasn't audible, just so you know. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. You weren't coming because of me. And I said, that's not what this is about. I said, you understand? Have I told you this recently? Have I told you this story? No, have I told you this story recently? So I'm just telling you, I almost quit going Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But when I was 16 years old, God got a hold of my heart. And I said, I'm not coming. And the Lord got a hold of my heart. And he said, that's right. I said, be not forsaken the assembling of yourselves together unless there's nobody your age, and then you can chuck it. And so I want you to know this. It's not what Christianity is about. But let me tell you this. I know of no great Christian that doesn't serve the Lord faithfully through one of his churches. Okay? It's not the end all, but it's part of. You chuck this, you'll be where you couldn't imagine you're going to be. Much greater things for you. Christ is much greater. You understand that? But I want you to know this. Don't be discouraged. The compadres aren't here, right? And, get on them in a loving way, right? But, again, it is that God would help them understand why it's good. So you be temperate, right? Nothing will change unless you do something different. God changed so much when I was 16 years old. Stop listening to secular music. Stop going to the movie theaters. These are just changes in my life. I began to serve the Lord. They asked me when I was a junior in high school. They said, hey, can you lead the 7th grade boys class? Large church, 150 7th grade boys. You know, I told them, my parents kind of taught me this. Be a yes person. If your pastor ever asks you something to do, what should you say? Yes. That's awesome. That's awesome. I got a list for you afterwards. But if at all possible, there's times you might have to say no. You understand that? And then I need to be reasonable as a pastor, right? But it's like this. My parents kind of taught me that principle. So this guy said, hey, I need you to lead 7th grade boys class. And I didn't know how to lead 7th grade boys class. I was instantly loved it from the first moment. You know why? They worshipped me. Probably not good. It's like, oh, Steve Hall's leading. I'll be like, that's right. That's right, man. Kiss the ring. And not good. See, I never did anything right for the right reason. But I learned how to lead singing as a junior in high school. I learned a bus route. I've told you the stories. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Start now. Be self-controlled. Be temperate. Be tempered. Be disciplined. One thing at a time. One thing at a time. And then you know what? You regret coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Not most of the time, you don't. You regret making that commitment in your heart? Is it a pain in the neck sometimes? From a human perspective, it is hard, difficult. You regret that? You regret that? You regret that? I know. I tell you this, and then it's like this. Just ask people, how can I honor Christ? The Bible says this, commit thy works unto the Lord, and he shall establish thy thoughts. I'll tell you this, start doing what he wants, ask him to change your heart. Just honor him. I've never done anything right for the right reason, but God gets a hold of my heart. I'm thankful for it. And if you need, I'll be one of those guys that God gave me that said, Steve, you're coming to visitation on Saturday morning. I'm like, I didn't want to. If you only knew, I told you the bus director, if he every week, taking you out today, Steve. If he wasn't, I was going home. I'm like, I ain't going out. I would go for breakfast, you know, just because I was like, yeah, you're such a pain in my neck. And I have to show up. And he must have known that. He never asked me, he goes, taking you out again today. Yeah, yeah, nah. And what a blessing. I'll help you. But eventually, God will get a hold of your heart. Loved it. It's one of the reasons why I always want us to be a church that loves kids. There's so many kids out there that never are given the gospel by their parents. We got to love them. But we have to be temperate. I want you to know this. I know this would be a great message for Sunday morning. It's begin to start somewhere. I know you're saying I might be rough on the SMOs, but I'm thankful for the SMOs. But they need to be SMONs. Sunday morning and night. And they need to be smanwa. I don't know. Anyway, third thing. It's for an eternal reward. That's what it is, for an eternal reward. Verse 25. Somebody told me recently, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Somebody told me this recently. I thought it was so funny. They said, you know, Steve, I think you preach that reward thing just a little too strong. He said, you know, there's a baseline in heaven. He said, and that baseline is beyond anything we could ever imagine, think of. And he said, so that baseline's going to be pretty good. And I looked and I said, you'd be satisfied with the baseline? He said, more than satisfied. I said, well, God was so stupid that he seemed to emphasize rewards. I said, why didn't he just tell us there's a baseline? Because there's not a verse in the Bible that says that. Heaven's going to be great because Christ is there. But there is something so unique. I preached it this morning, and here it is again tonight, that we will receive a corruptible or an incorruptible crown. And it's just not going to be like, if you think of this, a crown. Yeah, hey, thank you for nothing. I'm not into hats, right? The crown is glorious. And we'll wish we did the work to honor Christ. I want you to be clear. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, let's just turn there because I want to make sure that we do not get out of balance. This is such a great verse to keep us in balance. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. If you ever misunderstand and say, I'm saying Steve's awesome, I'm not. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. If there's any good in me, it's Christ. Listen to that song this morning. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was not bestowed on me. And his grace which was bestowed on me was not in vain. It wasn't. He didn't waste it. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Wow. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You can trust that God will help you do what you need to do, and you won't regret it. We have to have temperance. We must be understanding it's for an eternal reward. So much is... I like to watch a little golf on Sunday afternoon sometimes. And I just watch the commercials on golf. How many watch golf on Sunday afternoon? All right, now it's one other person. One other person. Well, I like to see how good I'm going to be. In heaven. And gonna beat you, Bill, then. But it's this. All the commercials, and I was just watching them today, and I was like, oh wow. That is nothing about what matters. It was a really shiny car. A lot of alcohol, a lot of credit cards, a lot of cars. And I thought, none of it would help me focus on the kingdom of God. None of it. I have to remind myself, you have to remind yourself, let's make sure of this. Is my focus on eternity? Or is my focus here on earth? Fourth, and then I'm almost done, I've just got two more. We should run this race with confidence. Look at this. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. So it's like this, it's like, and you hit nothing. It's this, you can win Christ. It's not like you start the marathon and only one wins. No, you can win Christ. He's that wonderful, he's that glorious, and run with confidence. Stop focusing on yourself. If there is a theme that I deal with all the time, you are identifying with your flesh and you're calling that you. You're saying, I am. And I'm like, no, you're perfect, man. But I ain't feeling it right now, right? And so I know this. Jacob, the real Steve's perfect. But when I get in the flesh, whoa, not even close. But I'm not going to identify with my flesh. I'm going to identify with the one that Jesus saved, the one that God created, and that's who I am. I want to never forget who I am, and I'm going to have confidence that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheth me, that I have been given everything, that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer to be tempted above your able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. I'm going to identify with the new man. Are you negative on you? Are you negative on you? It ain't you. Or you're lost. If the flesh is you, you're not saved. The flesh isn't me. Oh, I'm responsible for this flesh. But it's not me, and I will not identify with my flesh and say that's me. When I don't want to read the Bible, it's not me. My stinking flesh. But I tell you this all the time. I used to bemoan that God didn't take away my sin. Do you know what would have had to happen, Joe, for me to be sinless? I would have to be dead. So, the alternative is that God left me here to serve him in this flesh. And then he said, Steve, you can handle that flesh. You follow me? And so I will not identify myself. When you talk badly about yourself, you are misidentifying yourself because you are perfect if you're saved. You understand that? Stop identifying with your flesh. Do you know, I hear it all the time. We can be so negative, but we're not talking about the real you. Do you understand this? You should be confident. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I can have victory in Jesus. I can serve the Lord. When he commands it, I can do it. And your flesh is going, no, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. And you know what? You gotta say, shut up. I know we're not allowed to say shut up in our family, so occasionally it feels good. It is, we don't, not that often. And so it is, I want you to know this. Stop identifying yourself with your flesh. You follow me? That's a super big deal. Because then you'll have no confidence if all you're like, well, you know. That's, yeah, your flesh can do nothing. But I can. You follow confidence? I'm a believer. He saved me. How dare I insult Jesus Christ by acting like I'm a loser? I'm a winner. I love me. it's the new me. It's not the flesh. You know, you can take it to, you can be goofy in the flesh. Have confidence in Christ. When you leave, I want you to know this. Okay, that's what Jesus wants. I can do it. And then when you get out these doors, you're like, I'm not sure. Get back in the Word. You can do it. Have confidence. I'm running a race that I can win. Are you running a race that you can win? I can know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering, the power of his resurrection and be conformable to his death. I can win. Final thought, without regret. It's my life verse, verse 27. I had this life verse before I was a pastor. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. That is the closest thing, Ron, to mortify without being so gruesome. This one is like, this is what I do. So imagine this is my flesh, and I'm holding my flesh up. I'm beating my flesh black and blue that says, you will conform. That's what he says. But I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached others. See, that's not talking about preachers. That's when I have proclaimed the truth. That's when I've declared the gospel. That's when I've told others about Jesus, that I myself might be a castaway. You know, I've asked God, oh, kill me. He doesn't kill too many people. That's what I've learned over the years. I've watched too many Christians fail. I'm like, they wish they were dead. Right? So you know what I've said? You know what God says? He says, you can. Discipline. Be temperate. Beat your body black and blue so that you do what's right. We won't regret it. It will be worth it all. That's the song we sung tonight, won't it? It will be worth it all. Beating this old flesh black and blue that says, you know what? I'm running a race. I love this. Anybody ever run a half marathon, marathon here? Okay, there we go, there we go, there we go, there we go. And, you know, I love this. So, you know, Jeff Metalla runs, he just ran the pig. And so, you know, when guys are focused on the, it's like, I got my 11-mile run this week. It's like, what, your 11-mile run? Oh, man, I didn't prepare for that. And I was like, I got my smorgasbord. And, but you got an 11-mile run. You know the discipline that it took? You had a schedule. Did you not have a schedule? That's why you don't run too many marathons, right? Because that schedule is kind of like tedious. You focused on that schedule because you had a goal. See, do we care that much about Christ that we say, you know, I'm running a race. What's the schedule? What's the plan? You don't have a plan, the devil does. We're running a race that we might obtain, that we might win Christ, that we might honor Christ, that we might live for him, the race that matters. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your blessings, your goodness, the reminder that we can have confidence. We are not just flailing in the air. We're not just, I don't know, man.